Hello and welcome to the No Code SaaS podcast with me, James Devenport, and Kieran.
Hello, hi there, everyone. Kieran. Hello.
Hey, it's great to be back. This is a podcast where we kind of talk about how to build a software business without being a programmer, essentially. In this episode, we thought we'd kind of do a bit of a wrap up of the year, talk through some of our kind of accomplishments this year, plans for next year, predictions, things that events as well that are going to be happening. So Kieran, do you want to kind of kick us off maybe? Because obviously last week we spoke about everything that happened with YEP, with the acquisition, which was awesome. So that's probably, that's a good place to start for if we're looking back at this year and things that happened.
I guess so, if you insist. So it was an interesting year. I did not find SaaS success, which is still that elusive goal that we're both seeking, but you're getting closer and I'm not. But I did sell two projects, YEP being the biggest one by far. But the first one was Whisper Page, which I sold in around May, and that was like about a 1 month build of an AI landing page builder, and I managed to sell that. I basically launched it, got quite a lot of interest, a lot of people kicking the tires, but no one. I just had $99 for lifetime access. No one actually paid. I didn't do much marketing as always. And then someone approached me and said he'd be interested in buying it. So I ended up selling it to him. So that was good. It was my first like proper no code acquisition. And then later in the year, I got a DM from this guy, Steven, asking about YEP. And after a few months talking, we agreed a price and got everything done and sold it. So it's been interesting to learn about the process of selling things and realize that stuff that I've built actually has value to other people. Both the buyers of both those projects, neither of them are no coders or bubblers. They're both non-technical, I'd say marketing focused people, both of whom want to learn to build. But it's interesting that they saw this app, and they are actually, for them, the fact that it's built with no code is a plus rather than a negative. So you often hear about people saying that apps built on no code have all these drawbacks and everything, and you should just build it in code or rebuild the whole thing in code. But they're kind of ignoring all the people that don't want to hire an expensive team of developers, don't know how to code themselves, but are really good at marketing or product design, and they see a no-code app as being like the perfect combination of the two. So like I just had a call with Steven today where he was asking me some questions about YEP, how things work. We fixed a couple of bugs, and he asked me like if I can do a few things, but like all this stuff, most of it I can just say to him like, yeah, this is why this was broken. This is how you can fix this in the future. This is how you can change this. And he's just learning, and like he's totally going to be able to do it soon, which you just could not say that for code. I know for a fact, because I've worked alongside coders for 7 years, sitting right next to them, watching what they do, and there's no way I could have like just learned by osmosis by just watching them. It's like such a dedication to build like really technical things with code. So I think it's just worth bearing that in mind. No code is mainly it's coders, I think, or people that work with coders who have this mindset of like, yeah, it's not gonna scale, and you'd want to rebuild it with code anyway, it's not flexible enough. But for a lot of people, I think it's very interesting. And actually I met up with Gregory John yesterday. He was actually in Norwich quite randomly, we were talking about like the amazing gift that no code is to people like us. It may not be to everyone, it may not seem like that to everyone, but to us, when we first discovered Bubble, we were just blown away. Like if you've ever hacked around with WordPress and hit its limitations like super quick, if you've ever gone anywhere down the route of trying to hire a developer or a dev agency and having to scope your app exactly. And if you get the scope wrong, then you end up with something that's completely worthless that you can't use. If you get the scope right, you might still have an agency that takes ages and ages and doesn't deliver on time. You know, loads of people in the space we know have lost money doing things that way. So I just think it's just such an amazing game changer for people like us. I don't know why I've gone on this this random monologue about this, but yeah, just came to mind. So yeah, I'm still feeling super pumped about No Code. I don't know. Well, I guess later on we can talk about what our plans are for next year. But yeah, right now I'm kind of having a bit of a reset, taking a step back and looking at what I've done so far and where I want to be by this time next year.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good summary, and it's a good reminder of why we do this podcast, as well as to talk about the power of building stuff with no code. Because even though I think like we obviously are converted, it's amazing, you know, how it isn't really that well known still out there about how powerful it is, that you can build kind of high quality software that scales in this way. So yeah, super exciting. Yeah, I guess I've been looking back over all the figures from my app this year. So UserLoop, obviously the Shopify app for running surveys. And I think it's been overall a good year. It's more than doubled the number of merchants using it. I had a very high target for the end of the year of what I wanted to achieve in terms of number of kind of customers and paying customers. And I haven't quite got to it, kind of nearly, which is kind of frustrating. But it's how these things often go. I mean, at least, you know, seeing key stats like churn is, you know, really doing really well. So I'm quite confident that when I acquire a customer, they stay for, you know, months and months and months usually, and that we're getting more and more of these larger brands. And I kind of blown away by some of the customers we have on it now are like big brands who are running TV ads and stuff who like you actually have heard of. It's really cool to see them just signing up, and a lot of the time they are coming through Shopify App Store as well, which is super exciting. So that's all been good. I think a lot of the stuff I've been working on over the last few weeks is kind of technical changes to the product that are required as part of it being a Shopify app. So this is kind of one of the things you've got to deal with, I guess, when you are kind of quite reliant on a platform like my app is, that the API will change or the requirements change. So a big kind of a big part of the app is having to be kind of refactored at the moment to support a new paradigm in Shopify for how things work. So that should be out. We're kind of beta testing it now, but I'm hoping that will be done by the end of this year, because I'd like to be focusing on new stuff for next year. And obviously, but done tons of experiments with marketing this year. I think that, like we've spoken about. So I think probably the most successful one has been SEO. That has, you know, is still continuing to drive traffic. Working on that a lot as well. And really, my focus next year is going to be moving kind of a bit more towards content and kind of video, because I think, as we've spoken about over the last few episodes, with AI now, you can take that video content that you filmed, so whether it's a tutorial or a guide or whatever, and transform it into all these other formats. So I'm kind of planning on starting with video as being the thing I start with for all the content, and then out of that will come a blog post and social posts and help articles and all that kind of stuff, but it all will start with the video. So I'm going to try and get much more into producing a lot more of that. And also kind of diversifying out the features of the app. So largely it's been very driven by what customers have been asking for. But there are a couple of other channels that I kind of want to spread it out into to kind of broaden its appeal a bit from just being kind of 100% survey based. So that's kind of on my plan for next year. But of course, the other thing we could talk about a little bit in summary about this year is all the events we've been to. And looking forward to next year, kind of what's coming up. Obviously we've got a couple of exciting things coming up next year.
Yeah, well, I enjoyed your summary, and honestly, to an outsider, it may not seem it to you on a day-to-day basis, but you are really ticking all the boxes in terms of the things you should do, the right things to do. I love the way you you add extra features, but you're very careful about which ones you do. You seem to listen to your customers and just build the ones they want. The fact that you've got relatively low churn is like, you know, that's really hard to get. The fact you've got that so early on is really impressive, and driving, you know, new leads via SEO, it seems like you are building a pretty effective engine. And I imagine SEO is one of those things that goes very slowly at first, but then will ramp up quite quickly at some point in the future. So perhaps midway through next year or something, you're going to start to be reaping all these benefits without even needing to really do anything else. You're just like, okay, I'm just getting like 10 times as many people coming to my site, and it's all through SEO. So yeah, it's you're doing really well, I think.
Hopefully, yeah, hopefully that will be the case. I mean, the unusual thing, I guess, of how it's all kind of come out with the app is that all the blog content and everything is all on Bubble itself. So probably wouldn't have done that. If I'd started it again now, I wouldn't have maybe structured it in that way. But all the marketing site and the app are all kind of connected together. But even with it being on Bubble, the SEO is doing pretty well. And looking forward to next year with some of the performance improvements that we heard about, I'm super, you know, I'm optimistic that it will, you know, it should be okay. And I guess the other thing that I've kind of been thinking about is it will be coming up to a year that I've been working on this full time in March. So it's about 10 months now. And one of the things that I really wanted to do with it was to optimize, for longevity on working on it and to make it an enjoyable process, because I think that's something that is super, you know, super important when you know, building something like this, is that, you know, it's something that you want to be working on in years. And a lot of the time it is quite depressing and it's stressful and horrible and get all the bad stuff that happens. So it's, I've definitely been thinking about, you know, all the stuff that I really enjoy as well. So like, obviously, like all the podcasts that we do, making, working with the AI features and stuff like that in it as well, to try and, you know, keep that balance of keeping it an enjoyable project to work on, alongside, you know, keeping the KPIs moving in the right direction, but not getting so obsessed and bogged down in every, if a customer does churn or if something doesn't go right, not trying to let that be too much of a bump in the road, I guess. Because obviously, I think, you know, doing a lot of what we're doing with building, you know, software, being a solo founder as well, it is very stressful a lot of the time. So you kind of got to try and even out the bumps in the road, I guess, from the good and the bad stuff. Purely with the goal of, you know, this is something that is great fun to do overall, and it's way better than, you know, anything that I've done before. So you kind of want to optimize for that and keep it going as long as possible. So that's also something I've been kind of thinking about this year.
Yeah, I think that's not something people talk about enough, really, is this optimizing for longevity. And it's something that I've been thinking about as well. I listened to this, I watched a video by Rob Welling on YouTube recently. I think it was quite a recent one, where he was talking about, here are things you're doing wrong with your like SaaS exploration strategy. And he was basically saying he doesn't believe in the multiple small bets approach. He says, like, for numerous reasons, but they all really resonated. But things like, it takes time for your SaaS to find product market fit. Usually it's not the initial iteration that actually finds it. So yes, you see people who launch something and it really takes off immediately. But even then, there might just be kind of a launch like luck, and then later on they have to pivot to find product market fit. And if you're doing this regular launches thing, you don't give enough time to do this. And you also, it's really easy to avoid doing the hard stuff. And that's definitely what I've been guilty of, is like, I'll do the fun stuff, which is building a product, I'll put it out there, and then I won't do the hard stuff. The hard stuff is like marketing, is like talking to customers, is realizing your idea sucks and then pivoting to something else. I can so easily just say, oh, I'm going to give up on that idea and move to something else, and maybe that will take off. But yeah, after listening to what he's been saying, I was like, okay, next year I need to be way more focused and just pick something and optimize for longevity. And that means like choosing a market that I know I'm going to be happy in. And one kind of frame of reference I thought of was like, would I enjoy going to conferences with a bunch of these customers? And so that the interview app that I built like a few weeks ago, which I've now been like pitching to some friends who are recruiters, and then I was like, do I want to spend several years hanging out with recruiters and learning all about what they do and going to recruitment conferences? And the answer is a resounding no. No offense to any recruiters, but I'm just have no interest in the industry at all. So I was like, okay, even though I could probably, you know, keep working on this for a while and maybe get some traction, maybe that's not the right industry for me. So stuff like, yeah, the market and longevity is going to be top of my mind when I choose my next SaaS project for sure.
Definitely. And I kind of went through quite a long process at the beginning of starting this one, where I actually like had it on big pads of paper, writing out all of the, you know, what do I actually enjoy? What, like this whole, the whole ikigai thing of mm-hmm. trying to work out, you know, where is that sweet spot in the middle of what you're good at, what you enjoy and what you can get paid for, basically. So it is really worth, I think, kind of spending time to work out, you know, what would you be happy to spend working on for the next 5-10 years, basically? What is the long-term plan? Is this something that you actually care about? Then you can, like you say, you can see yourself going to the events and all this kind of stuff. And to be honest, my top kind of category for that is the no code space. Like, I love that more probably than the vertical that my SaaS operates in, which is kind of weird. But then I think there's quite a limited number of products that you can build to that market, to be honest, unless you are a no-code tool or you're doing courses like you are or stuff like that. That's kind of what it is. Whereas with e-commerce, I felt there was a lot more kind of breadth for my skill set of stuff that I could work on. But yeah, it's definitely something that's worth thinking about when you're starting out on a product. And the other thing is, you know, with the whole small bets thing, and we've kind of spoken about this before, but I've definitely been guilty of that before, of doing starting tons and tons of things and none of them went anywhere because I would build it and then kind of get bored and not do the hard stuff like marketing and then kind of think, oh, well, it's just, you know, it didn't work. Let's try another thing. So for me, I've definitely found it better to be focused on this one product. But I think, like we say, with some nuance there. So I do, you know, even though I am focused on one product and I kind of want to broaden out the feature set constantly, add new product lines within that product. But I think that still kind of works because all the stuff on SEO and marketing, it still funnels people at the end of the day into one of those products underneath the top brand. So I think that kind of, for me, might be kind of a good happy medium of being able to continue to build new stuff, new features, and have it all under one roof. And of course, the other thing that I have done this year is working on other people's apps as well, which has actually been really fun and really useful for that purpose as well, to kind of give you some experience of, you know, building stuff from scratch. Because once, like, my app has obviously been running for a long time, it's a very different process of maintaining and extending an app than building it from scratch. Like, the platform is constantly changing, so that's definitely a skill I kind of want to keep up as well, of you know, being able to build things from scratch and iterate them, and also kind of build and iterate larger product like mine that's, you know, got a lot of data in it and is harder to edit, basically, because it's you know, it's so much more complex. But yeah, it's so much fun building an app from scratch in Bubble. It is like playing a computer game. So it's kind of fun to still have that as well. But yeah, not getting so distracted that it kind of takes you away from your main focus, I guess.
Yeah. As you got to get the balance. I agree. Building apps for other people is like, it's just a good way to do some fun building without then feeling like, okay, yeah, I've got to spend a couple of months like now marketing this thing. So yeah, a bit of freelance work on the side, I think didn't hurt anyone. Especially if you've got a nice SaaS that's like not creating too much work for you as your kind of main income stream. Now we did get off on a bit of a tangent there because I think we were going to talk about events that we've been to and our upcoming conference, which I'm really excited about. So yeah, we went to the No Code Summit in Paris and we went to BubbleCon in New York, both in October, much to my wife's dismay. And yeah, they were both fantastic experiences. Just meeting all these people from the internet, but in real life, and getting to like the best bits for sure were kind of the after hours or the in between sessions parts where we just got to hang out and chat about what people are working on or just get to know people and find out what their personality is like when they're not, you know, just tweeting. So that was fab, and I'm really looking forward to gathering a few people in London in May and doing more of the same, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the response so far has been absolutely amazing. Like the number of tickets sold and the people that are coming and the speakers that we've got kind of lined up. I'm really, really excited, to take that experience from those events that we went to and kind of put our own spin on it. Like we said, kind of a focus on a practical application of no code stuff. People who've done it, demos, workshops, that kind of thing. I think that's going to be really exciting. And, you know, we've got some absolutely fantastic people who've been there and done it who are going to kind of share their experiences with everyone. So I'm really, really excited about that. And I think it's going to come around quicker than we think. You know, it is in May, so it's not that long away. So we'd be excited to share a lot more about this in the new year, about the lineup and the content and all of that. So yeah, that's all coming up soon.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be so good to that we can drive the ethos of the event. And I'm just really keen to avoid any corporate or salesy stuff and just make it all about makers who are actually building stuff and learning from each other and being inspired, and not being sold a new tool to try, but rather learning more about the tools you're using and how people are using them. So I think it's going to be excellent. And hopefully we can make it, you know, a regular thing in the UK, because the UK no code scene is a bit fragmented, really. There's not much going on centrally. And yesterday me and Greg were just discussing, like, we were a bit surprised that no code hasn't got bigger than it is, because like when I found it in 2019, I was like, oh my god, this is going to be huge. It's now 2023. It doesn't feel that much bigger than it was in 2019. It definitely is a bit bigger, but it doesn't feel a whole, like, you know, 10 times bigger. So maybe it just needs a couple more years, or maybe it's going to be overshadowed by AI. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we know the potential's there, but I think really, if we're looking at the precursor of no code, like you were saying a bit earlier, maybe if we're looking like 10, 15 years ago, that was WordPress, which ended up powering the majority of websites on the internet. So like there is a massive, you know, there's massive potential there. I think it is spreading the word about it, addressing some of the early problems that it did have with things like scalability that are all pretty much sorted now. So I think there's a big education piece about it. It's just we need more success stories of apps that have been built on it and scaled and exited. You know, we're seeing more and more of those now. People talking about their experiences of building with it, which is what we're trying to do with this. But yeah, I share your view that I thought it would have exploded more than it has. I mean, obviously the events we went to this year were big, like in particular the Paris one was 3,000 attendees. It is a big event, but in the UK, not so much, I don't think. So France was definitely ahead of us there. So yeah, I mean, it is super exciting though, because I think we are going to see AI come in and kind of merge with no code. I, as we've said before, I don't know about this whole term, the no code, of being that useful anyway. It's kind of, at the end of the day, it's building software visually, isn't it? So, and you're getting more and more tools like GitHub Copilot that are, meaning even programmers are not writing as much of their code as they were. So, is, you know, where does that line start blurring, and where does it start and end? So I think, yeah, over the next year, I think it is going to, I feel like we're kind of at an inflection moment with it, especially with Bubble in particular bringing in native mobile. I think that will be a big inflection point for them. And potentially as well, let's see what they do with AI to hopefully make that onboarding experience for people who've never thought they could build an app before be able to get started easier, which I think is what Bubble are trying to do with their AI product. It's maybe, it's not really aimed at the power users. It's aimed at people who, you know, maybe working in a dentist surgery and they want to replace their CRM to be able to spin up some software with, you know, explaining what they want. So, yeah, that will be really, that I'm really excited to see how that kind of plays out over the next year as well.
Yeah, and I'm still, like, I know previously there, you know, people have been worried about, you know, all of our dev jobs being replaced by AI and stuff, but I'm still pretty optimistic that it's really a limited proportion of people who really want to build anything at all. I was talking to my friend the other day who is a developer with code in a company of, like, I don't know, 50 devs. And he said, I had told him recently about some of the AI APIs that he can use. Prior to that, he was sitting there feeling kind of depressed that his job was going to be replaced by AI. And that's as a dev. I showed him all this stuff, and then he was like, oh my god, he keeps messaging me saying, look what I've just built, this is crazy, this is insane. But he said that none of his colleagues have any desire to play around with AI. None of them are building any side projects or anything. They all use GitHub Copilot. They sit there, they do their job, obviously they kind of enjoy it, but none of them want to build anything. So I really think it's, like, you know, maybe one in 50 people who actually want to build apps. So I'm not that worried about this kind of thing that, oh, people will just be able to say, I want an app to do this, and AI will generate it and they'll be able to use it. Because I just don't think there are that many people who actually want to build anything. They'd much rather use someone else's software. So I'm feeling a bit more optimistic about that. And I think no code and AI are going to work together very well, and just enable us to build things so much quicker, and higher quality as well. So that's going to be definitely a positive.
Yeah, and I can't see there being any dip in demand for developers. You know, I think what AI will really do is increase the overall demand for software. Like, the world doesn't have enough software to address, you know, it problems and stuff that needs to be done. There's still millions of Excel spreadsheets and bits stuff on paper and all the rest of it. They're like ancient systems that need to be updated, and there aren't enough developers to do it. So even with AI in the picture, I think what it probably overall does is just increases the amount of software being made, and, you know, an exponential demand for more as the software gets more and more complicated. So yeah, I think it will be a case of don't get left behind by not experimenting with AI, because it is you better being on the right side of it than but kind of being ignorant to what's happening around. And certainly some of the stuff, you know, even over the last few weeks, I've been experimenting with the open source stuff like Mistral, which has been super impressive. So being able to run LLMs locally on your own machine, that is super, super exciting to see stuff like that. And we're also seeing, like, Cloudflare, where you can spin up models. So, like, Meta's Llama models and stuff, you can spin up on Cloudflare and run at the edge super cheap. So it isn't just all OpenAI. And I've definitely been trying to stay up to date with everything else that's happening. It's kind of hard because every day, you know, it is moving so quick. But, you know, no code is the launch pad for building stuff with AI. Thing it is, you know, it is such a good pairing. I'd expect to see a lot more of that next year as well.
Yeah, and while you're mentioning all that running LLMs on your machine, it reminded me of Arvid Carl's new, or his the new SaaS he's working on, but his Bootstrap Founder podcast. He's usually he just discusses general like startup topics or indie hacker topics, but now he's actually working on a new SaaS project, which he hasn't done for years since he sold Feedback Panda, and then he's just been writing books. And it is absolutely fascinating. I don't know if you're listening to it, but certainly anyone out there who's not listening to it, you should be listening, because this is the guy who's written two, I think, books on the topic of like how to choose the best audience to build a SaaS for. And now he's actually doing it. And you're able to listen to his journey in real time. The SaaS he's chosen is podline.fm, which is a voice messaging app for podcasters. So I actually just set up an account for us, so you can send us a voice message on podline.fm/no-code-SaaS. This is not an advert, by the way, and we should get the message, and then we will be able to take high quality audio from that of your message and put it into our next podcast and like answer your questions or just have your comments in there. So I think we can also send you messages back, but yeah, definitely check out that podcast, because he was talking about like looking at no code solutions, and then he finally opted for code just because there were some more advanced things that he couldn't seem to find in no code. But he's using Laravel framework, which is like PHP framework, I think. And he was just saying how amazing it is. He's never used it before, but how it comes with like all this stuff, like almost out of the box, like auth and loads of other features is much easier. And it just sounded so similar to no code in that, like, he was just so happy that they had like taken away all of these headaches, which normally take days and days to set up in code, and it was all done for him. So I was thinking, yeah, it's like not that different from no code. Yes, I'm sure he can probably dive in to the framework and update it and customize things himself. But at the end of the day, everyone is just trying to get faster and more efficient at building things.
100%. And it's kind of just, it's doing, you know, I guess Laravel in a way is doing the same as what Bubble is doing. It's just abstracting the underlying complexity from you, like all the way down to like the binary stuff running on the actual chip, like every step above that, whether it's kind of PHP or Laravel or Bubble or whatever, is just making it, at the end of the day, it's making it easier for you to interact with the machine and build the logic you want to build. So I kind of think of Bubble in that same way. It's a bit like another framework. It just happens to be this one is a visual one, and it's all wrapped up in this kind of cloud platform that hosts and runs software for you as well. But yeah, no, I read Arvid's book as well before, Zero to Sold, I think, before yeah. Starting Userloop. And yeah, it's like a must read, I think, for everyone at the beginning of their startup journey. So valuable. It was one of the things also that made me think about, you know, what customer acquisition channel I was really going to focus on, and which eventually then led me to the Shopify App Store being, you know, the way I was going to get my first users kind of at scale. So yeah, helped answer some really great questions at the beginning. But yeah, I can see we're coming towards the 30-minute mark here. So yeah, I think there's overall some great events this year. And like we said, next year we've got this our fantastic No Code UK event coming up in May. So we're really, really looking forward to that. And we're going to be sharing a lot more about that kind of in January. So we've kind of got the speakers lined up right now. Early bird tickets are still on sale, though I think the first batch of early bird tickets has gone already. So we're on to the second discounted amount. So if you want to get a ticket, it'd be great to try and get one soon, because yeah, we've been getting great demand. And I'm sure as soon as we announce all the amazing speakers we've got lined up, it will go even quicker. So yeah, definitely get in there early. But yeah, Kieran, any other thoughts before we kind of wrap up for the year?
No, I never have any other thoughts. Yeah, no, just excited for everything that's to come. And it'll be cool to actually, you know, listen back to this episode in a year's time and see where we were then. It would have been cool actually to listen to last year's episode, because we've been going for I don't know, 18 months now. So but yeah, it would be cool to just do some check-ins and see what we were saying then and how things have played out. You know, maybe we'll all be part of the machine by then, who knows.
Yeah, let's see. And I guess the other thing to say is thanks to everyone who does listen. You know, like, we really do appreciate when you message us and say that you're actually listening, and if you found it helpful. So yeah, thank you for listening to it, and we hope we can do lots more of them for you in the new year, along with this event and all the other stuff that we're up to. So yeah, I think that's it. And so thanks, Kieran, and let's come back to this in a year and see if see how we track against all of our predictions and goals.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you.